Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
All right, guys. Before we get into it, I want to talk about our friends at Promescent. Here at Mike Vecchione Investigates, we want you to have amazing sex. This show is full of sexuality, and you guys know it, and we know it, and it's kind of unwritten and unsaid, except for right now when I'm saying it, which is why I want to tell you about a popular sexual enhancer, the Promescent Delay Spray, that's been used by over a million men and is clinically proven to help you last longer in bed. It takes the edge off and sensitivity levels down, so you don't have to worry about finishing too soon. No prescriptions, no mess, and no pesky subscriptions required. Just better sex guaranteed with 60-day money-back guarantee. Guys, this stuff can really help you in the bedroom. It's proven, studies have proven, that it takes women a lot longer to orgasm than men. So this spray will help delay your orgasm in order to satisfy your partner. It's a beautiful thing and adds to an enhanced sexual experience. See what the buzz is about for yourself and grab a bottle along with all of your sexual wellness products, from specially formulated arousal gels to supplements and more, in one trusted spot that ships fast and discreet. So go to promescent.com. No promo code needed. They're offering free shipping and a 60-day money-back guarantee. So once more, go to promescent.com. They've got an assortment of products to enhance your sex life. All right, guys, let's start the show.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
I went online to become a private detective. It was a private detective school online, and I paid online. I never heard from them again. I thought to myself, I either got ripped off, or this is my first case. This is a journalistic podcast, Shannon. We vaccinate our listeners with answers. And I'm going to keep lip-syncing the important questions until TikTok gives me a show. Shannon, how can the moon landing be real if the moon itself is fake?
That's not true, Mike.
Oh, isn't it true, Shannon? You're fake. You're a hologram.
1 in 5 New Yorkers are food insecure. What's your solution for that, Mike?
Fortune cookie. Because that's food and advice at the same time. Shannon, at least have the decency to backstab me, okay? You stab me in the front every time. Some fans can't watch the podcast because they're triggered by our sexuality. And message to those fans, we will leak a sex tape right into your mouth.
This is Mike Vecchione Investigates.
And you're not better than me.
Welcome to Mike Vecchione Investigates. We have a very special episode today. We have a high-level guest. I'm just going to come out and say it. A lot of you guys have gotten complacent. You're like, how many episodes? We just you and Shannon talking about, Mike, your relationship, Shannon's tumultuous but interesting love life. How many episodes are you going to do about it? I'll tell you what, we're shaking it up right now with a very special guest, hilarious comedian, Daily Show correspondent. He's taken his time with us, so you guys should feel honored. Michael Costa is here. Michael, welcome.
Thank you for having me, and I'm glad this worked out. And I have to admit, the word investigate it gets you a little nervous.
Right, because we were texting this morning at like 8 o'clock, which I don't know what time you get up. That's the earliest I've ever gotten up in my life, 8 o'clock.
Right, that's
true. We're texting back and forth, and you're like, what is this? What do you need from me? Very generous. And I go, it's just a casual conversation. And then right before we started, I go, it's an investigation.
That's right.
And
smart.
I hope that didn't throw you, but I don't want you to be guarded. I want you to let your guard down so that we can really get into stuff.
I mean, yes, of course I will. You know, the bottom line is you might be a criminal justice major, but, right. You've got that you do have a cop face, as I know you've mentioned, but you also are warm and nice. And so that's where it's a trick. Is yes. I'll open up to you, and that's right. where you'll get me. So,
hey, I'm trying to be your friend here, pal.
Yeah.
I'm trying to be your friend. I'm the guy who goes, get him a cup of coffee. Would you snacks from the vending machine?
Exactly.
And then you're going to open up to me.
Yep.
But you're up early often because you have what we call in the industry a family.
Yes.
Talk to me about that.
I didn't always have a family.
How did that start?
Yeah. Sex.
Yes.
That is literally the starting point. And when I started comedy, I wrote down on a piece of paper my three rules to be a successful comic. Right. Okay. Don't do drugs.
Okay.
Don't have children and write every day.
Yes.
All of those have been blatantly and flagrantly violated. And I don't know how I even came up with those, you know, but I have a family. I have done drugs. And I certainly, anyone who's seen my act does not write every day. So
sporadically.
Sporadically. I love having a family. It humbles you. It opens your eyes. And it's hard. It's hard. And the reason we were texting this morning is because that was like my lunchtime. You wake up early, and it doesn't go well with stand-up comedy, waking up early.
I was going to ask you about the hours. See, that's why I really didn't have a family. I just can't get on board with the hours. It's not my thing.
Yeah.
What are the hours? I mean, a lot of our fans are just living in their mother's basement, faking a disability. So they'd like to know, like, what are the hours of having a family?
I have a daughter who sleeps in late, and that's 7:30. And if you talk to a lot of families, they're like, my kid wakes up at 5:15 and blah, blah, blah. So I feel lucky that way. I will also say this, and I used to absolutely fucking hate when parents would say this, but when you have this child, genetically, chemically, something happens where you feel love for them.
Right.
And the fact that she wakes up in a weird way, and I am a half glass full guy anyways, but you actually want to wake up and be with them. And I know that sounds cheesy. And I know this is not you'll probably edit this out, but there is something that pulls you into them, even if it's early in the morning. And so I'm trying to embrace that.
Is there a follow-up question? I have to ask you the tough questions. The earlier it is, is there less love at 5:30 than there is at 7:30?
Yes. Yes.
I would imagine the later it gets, the more love you feel. It's like, oh, you're being cooperative. And at like 4 in the morning, it's like, you're kind of being a jerk right now.
Yeah. And that's a great observation on love. Like really, maybe love is just, there's a bell curve of time.
Right.
And anyone who's been in a relationship during the pandemic knows that once that we all reached past that time, that now I don't love you anymore.
Right.
We've been together so long, I don't love you anymore. So there are times when I've woken up with my baby and I've said to her, I don't love you anymore, you know, and and you have to say that quietly so other people in the house don't hear.
Yeah, it's love, but it's called tough love.
Yeah.
You know, it's called the truth.
It's called the truth. The truth hurts.
They are accustomed to the truth, you know, it's like, oh, give me medication. It's like, no, here's the truth. You're waking up too early, and as a result, and there's this idea when people have a children, Michael, of unconditional love, but you're saying it's totally conditional
on her wake up time. And this morning she woke up at 7:35, and I love her a lot this morning.
Yes.
And tomorrow she might wake up early and I won't love her as much.
What about diaper change? Breastfeeding, is it on some kind of a formula? There's rumors around that there's formula.
Yeah. And I'm not breastfeeding. What's interesting about formula. What's that?
You've opted out of breastfeeding?
I opted out of breastfeeding. Yeah. I mean, it is a whole new world, man. And I will say this, comics, we get in our structure, we get in our zone. I got to do 5 spots a night. I got to do this. It shakes all that up. And in a lot of ways, that's good. It's good for us to shake up our life, to reevaluate some things. Okay, why am I doing a crappy show in Astoria in front of 3 comics when I could be at home getting sleep to be a better father tomorrow? It gets you it gets your life shaken up a little bit. Doesn't mean everything's always excellent, but yeah. Oh man, nothing will humble you like a diaper change.
Yes.
Mike. In fact, I'll probably, if you and your fans don't mind, I'll videotape the next one and then send it in. You can post it on your site.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's actually awesome. We would love that. And if you could make the smells somehow sure. come through,
sure.
I think that would wake our fans up a little bit.
That part is not fun, but I guess you just have to do it. So you do it.
You have
it's like morning radio.
Changing a baby is like morning radio. And anybody who's done comedy is going to, you have to do it. You know, you have to do it and you got to sell tickets.
And there's smells too.
There's smells too there. Yeah. Do you have to get up in the night to change the diaper?
No, we did an excellent job in training our child to sleep through the night. On occasion it happens, but no, we don't. And I would actually say this, I have gotten more sleep than anticipated with the baby. And I have to make this appeal to good people out there. We want you to have children. Have kids. We need more good people having right. kids. We need Earth to have good, intelligent, sound, composed, funny, good sense right. of adventure
right.
people, Mike. Yeah. And you're not going to have kids because it might wake you up 45 minutes earlier than normal, but we need you to have kids.
Yeah.
Too many dipshits are having children.
Right. That's true. It seems like a lot of people just fall into it.
Yeah.
But that's a result of their life. Did you fall into it? Was it premeditated? And that's a word I use because I have a criminal justice background.
No, I was going to say, that is a good word for you to use on this podcast. It was unprotected sex with a awareness of what could happen. But it happened faster than both parties wanted.
Okay. Very good. Legal terminology that you're using in case this ever ends up in court.
Right.
It's great. It's right. great. You tell the baby, it's like, do you say you were a surprise or do you say the verbiage that you just used? It's like, we were both aware mm-hmm. of the ramifications of our decisions and you are a pleasant consequence.
Yes. Pleasant consequences. I like pleasant consequence because I don't like pleasant surprise. Like, yeah, I'm aware of what was going to happen. Like Costa's, you know, Costa fucks, you know what I mean?
Yes.
And so babies can have.
I didn't know that about you.
Also, I think it's cool that my street has just decided to all honk their horns at the same time. I haven't done anything all day. And as soon as I get on with you, they honk the horns. Anyways. Yeah. Pleasant consequence is actually the best term I've heard because I don't like surprise. I knew something could happen, but it is pleasant. It is pleasant. And it's also a consequence of my decisions.
It's fantastic. A lot of our fans are at the edge of their seat right now and go out and have a family. I'm not going to do it, but Michael was encouraging it. So you speak very highly of it and you speak, you know, without this angst or whatever, it just very, it flows. It's very, it seems like a natural thing that you're saying. It's not like force, like, oh, it's so much work. And I get that a lot from new people. Oh my God, they just look bogged down. They look bad. They look like they're eating terribly.
You are. And some of that happens. But also because I had heard all that too, Mike, I had really tried to and want to speak positively about it because I don't think people are doing a service to potential parents out there. It's a beautiful, wonderful thing. And there are moments when it sucks. So, welcome to life, everybody.
Yeah. Is there a book in your future? What to expect when not expecting?
What I will not expect thus. Yeah, no, I don't think I'll write a book on parenting. I use Bill Cosby's book on parenting. I think, didn't he have one? Parenthood, Fatherhood?
I think so. Fatherhood, yeah.
Yeah.
Had one.
So no, I'm not planning on writing a book on parenting. By the way, nobody said I'm good at parenting, but that's the thing.
You're selling it.
Yeah, I'm selling it. I because I want good people to have kids.
Right. Oh, then so maybe that's the book. Good people have kids. And if you don't feel like writing a book, be like, I don't have a lot of time. I'm a father. Here's a pamphlet.
Right. I like that.
You know, here's a leaflet. Here's a one page. I can sum it up in one page.
Yeah.
I'm was your degree in, like, speech communication?
Speech communication. Well, you did do some investigation.
I did some research on you. And sometimes when I'm last night, I bombed and felt like my set was a speech.
Yeah.
Because no one was laughing at all. It was just terribly tanking. And,
good comics always admit that they bombed.
Oh, yeah.
Bad comics have never bombed.
Yes.
They only, I crushed that play. Oh, the room was hot. It's like, but then a really actual veteran stand-up comic will look you in the eye and go, last night was brutal. I bombed. Sorry. because they have the confidence of knowing that they've done well and knowing that they haven't done well.
Do you ever do that with your child? You know, you say a joke and then you look your baby in the eye and you get no reaction. And you go, you're a terrible audience.
Yeah. No,
you ever
but
say
that is good. I like that.
And then you turn to your wife and you go, I'm just not right for this room.
Yeah, this room is, is she angry? You know how sometimes audience members come in angry? It does get you to reevaluate your jokes. Like, why am I trying to write smart jokes when literally the hand in the armpit fart is the funniest thing any child has ever heard in their life?
Do you feel like you have to dumb it down?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm not that smart in the first place, but with her, it's like, I'm going to pretend to grab your left earlobe and I grab your right earlobe and it is fucking groundbreaking. It's awesome, dude.
Classic misdirection. Yeah. It's never going to get old. It's never going to go out of style.
Yeah.
I want to get into, you grew up in Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what's the difference between growing up in a cold weather climate and a warm weather? Because you moved to California, mm-hmm. but you were in a cold weather climate and then you moved to California. You're probably like, oh, this is paradise. Did you like the cold weather? Are you a cold weather guy?
No. I think that was what got me to move to LA instead of New York, because I was evaluating, you know, you had, in my opinion, you needed to leave Michigan for stand up. And I was like, let's try warm weather. Are you cold weather? You're from here?
I grew up half and half. I grew up in Ohio, half in Ohio with cold, and then half in Florida with warm.
Okay.
And I loved the warm much better, but I did appreciate the mental toughness that the cold in Ohio does for you.
Yeah. Yeah. And that, yeah. You know, growing up in Michigan, you get that Christmas gift and it's like, oh, sweet. Can't wait to use this in 4.5 months when the weather's nice. You know, oh, I got rollerblades. Awesome. I'll put them on in 5 months when my feet are a totally different size, you know? So when I moved to California, holy shit, I stopped watching sports on TV. Because in Michigan, Sunday, you watch football all day and get drunk or eat wings because there's nothing, it sucks outside. It
sucks.
So I really like the warm weather and, comedy has taken me to New York numerous times, and it's always reluctantly to get the winter coat out.
Mm-hmm.
I always have a very humbling, very acrobatic fall every winter.
Right.
You know, and it feels like I'm getting higher in the air and it hurts more when I land as I get older.
Right.
That's just part of even a guy who's savvy on his feet, and I move well for a big guy, Mike.
Yeah.
You still fall. It just happens.
Wow.
Yeah.
I want to get into, you said savvy on your feet. You're athletic.
Mm-hmm.
You're, a tennis. You were an All-American.
I wasn't an All-American, but I played collegiately and then I played professionally.
D1,
baby.
D1 collegiate level tennis. And I don't know if our fans out there, our fans have never been to school. So I don't think they understand the level that you're playing at when any kind of Division I sport. I play Division I sports. And, you know, I just know the level is, you say it and people don't really understand the gravity of it. It's really high level, very, very high level. Any Division I sport, we would get, we wrestled and we would get taped up and share a training room with basketball and the volleyball players. And all of the athletes were just very, very high level. If you're playing at that level, you're very high level. So were you a star in high school?
Yeah, star in high school, probably like you. And then just want to give a shout out to the NYPD and that siren that's going on behind me. If you can hear that, Shannon and Mike. Yeah, star in high, you know, state champion in Michigan. And then you move up the ladder and you just realize how good everybody else is. You know, I have so much respect for wrestling, any sport where when you make a mistake, you get physically hurt.
Yeah, you pay for it with your life.
You pay for it with your stakes. Yeah, I love those stakes. And that's, and yet I can't handle those stakes. You understand? Tennis, you can win 50% of the points in tennis, which means you can lose 50% of the points in tennis and still win the match. And I love that. I love that I can just bumble my way, double faulting, missing, you know, lose a whole set 6-0. And then based on the scoring of tennis, you can then immediately, when the new set starts, it's a whole new match. You can just suck for 40 minutes. And then, but in wrestling, you make a mistake and your nose is broken. I don't like that.
You end up on your back and, and bridging out and paying for it. And I do love that. I do love the high stakes of it.
You know? Yeah.
But can I ask about tennis? Because I love the mental toughness. You're saying it like, oh, I have a whole new game. But what about when you're just getting your, you know what, kicked in for 40 minutes? Are you able to it always mystifies me. First of all, the level of concentration you have to have over the long span. I mean, these matches are really long and you have to have just a high level of comp. You can't be on TikTok. For those of you listening at home, you can't be on TikTok. You have to have a high level of concentration for a long period of time. And within the period of time, the ebbs and flows of the match, you might be getting it kicked in for 40 minutes, but you need to mentally be able to go over, do that thing that you guys do with your towel, maybe yell at the judge a little bit. I've seen that. Yep. And then go back out there and, you know, maybe say some comments to the ball boy or something. You'll never be anything. Something to get the venom out. And then you got to get mentally focused to behave like a champion again.
Right. How, and
for our fans who are rudderless and living with their mothers, how do you do that mentally?
Well, you're describing one of my fantastic abilities, and it's called projection. And that means when you are feeling stress, you're unhappy with the outcome, you will attack someone else. And that's a strength of mine. Okay.
Yes.
When you start ridiculing the ball kid or the umpire or the wind. I mean, I've had long yelling arguments at the wind.
Yes.
You know, not me. It's not because I didn't move my feet.
Right.
It's because the wind happened. Much like stand-up comedy, you gotta have a short memory and you gotta be tough, and you learn both of those through excessive failure. So I had, you know, there had been times in juniors where I would lose the first set early and mope around and literally cry. I mean, tears literally on my face as I'm playing the second set. And I remember at some point, either I learned or a coach said to me, dude, people lose the first set and then win the match sometimes.
Right.
It's very possible. So grow up. You know, you're 23 years old. Stop crying on the court.
Right. You know? Right. Were you known as the tantrum champion?
Definitely not a tantrum. Wow. More of a slow, consistent mope.
Oh.
You know?
That's different. Yeah.
Yeah. So like when you watch Novak Djokovic lose the US Open and he shatters his racket during the match, that's called high negative. He's negative very quickly at a high level, and then it's over. And that's what's recommended, you know, punch the wall and then forget it.
Yeah.
I would build up to this racket throw over a course of an hour, dragging the feet, grabbing at the shirt, yelling at the wind. That's called low negative. That is how you perpetually lose. And that's eventually what I end up doing when I played professionally. I lost every week for 3.5 years.
That's pretty interesting, actually, how you get a high explosion. So the negativity is all released and then you reset. And then so you smack a ball boy or you throw him against something. And it's like he's in the hospital, but that's not your problem anymore.
No.
Now it's called be a champion. Let's get our mindset right.
And you said that as a joke, but for people that don't know, which is like your listeners, because they're rudderless. I talk about high negative with Novak Djokovic last US Open, not this one. He got really mad. Yeah. He hit the ball behind him and he hit the lineswoman in the neck and they defaulted him. The defending champion was defaulted from the US Open because he hit a woman in the neck. So you got to be, when you're going to hit the ball, you got to know where you're hitting it.
And you can't hit women.
I think you can't hit women.
It's just wrong. I mean, you shouldn't be hitting women.
Yeah. I mean, and it didn't help that he then yelled at her, "That's what you deserve. Get your ass in the kitchen."
It's not right, Mike. I think we can both agree on that one. All right, guys, I want to take a second to talk about our friends over at Blue Chew. This episode is sponsored by Blue Chew. Say it with us, Blue Chew. Blue Chew is making waves and bringing more confidence to the bedroom by offering chewable tablets that can help men get stronger and longer lasting erections. Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable form and at a fraction of the cost. Blue Chew's tablets help men achieve harder, stronger erections to combat all forms of erectile dysfunction. Blue Chew is an online prescription service, so no visits to the doctor's office, no awkward conversations, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy. And it ships right to your door in a discreet package. The process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. The best part, it's all done online. Blue Chew's licensed medical providers work with you to find the right ingredient and strength for your prescription. Don't like swallowing pills? No problem here. Blue Chew's Sildenafil and Tadalafil tablets are chewable. Blue Chew's tablets are made in the USA and they prepare and ship direct. So it's cheaper than a pharmacy. So if you could benefit from extra confidence when it's time to perform, visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information. And here's a special deal for our listeners. Try BlueChew free when you use promo code Mike. That's M-I-K-E at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code Mike, M-I-K-E, to receive your first month free. And we thank BlueChew for sponsoring Mike Vecchione Investigates. Okay, guys, let's get back into it. Djokovic is great, obviously. Even I'm outside of tennis, and I know he's a true champion. But and you look at him and probably you're like, oh, that could have been me. And I feel a certain kind of way about him because he's a massive professional success. And I had limited success. I mean, I had success in college, but the next level, I couldn't measure up. But do you think that Djokovic could do comedy? Put him in a different arena. Right. I bet he double faults or whatever the bad thing is in tennis.
Yeah, no, double fault is a bad thing in tennis. It's a free point. You know, you just gave your opponent a free point. Oh man,
how many good sets do you think he'd have?
Yeah.
Probably not many.
Thank you. I don't think Novak Djokovic would succeed at stand-up comedy if you put him out there right now. Just illegal ATV behind me. No big deal. The fucking cops have never ever stopped anyone in this city for driving an illegal vehicle. Novak would not do well at stand-up comedy right now.
Right.
But he has a good personality and he works his ass off. And I think he could get there. And he's actually quite entertaining for a tennis personality. Some of these tennis champs, I mean, Pete Sampras won for 15 years. I don't think I could ever watch more than 10 minutes. I was sound asleep on the couch. You know what I mean?
Right.
Novak is compelling enough that I think he could draw in an audience.
He could draw in. Well, maybe Sampras is just a low energy guy. Maybe he'll have to rely on his jokes, because isn't that a thing where it's like Joe Montana couldn't do commentating because of the same quality that made him a great quarterback. He just never moved. He's like a surgeon. Like they were saying, you know, when Ben Carson was running for president, they were like, well, this guy has no personality. It's like, he's a surgeon. You don't want that guy going up and down. You don't want that guy being the life of the party. You want him steady and focused. And that's maybe what Sampras has. So
for sure. And it's like Tom Brady too. It feels like the game has slowed down for him during these big moments.
Yeah.
It's like his footwork is slower. His arm is slower, yet somehow he's more accurate. I don't get it. And you're right about Joe Montana. You know, the only, even his Skechers commercial, I'm like, Jesus Christ, this guy is a drip.
Yes.
But he stayed cool in the pocket, Mike.
I mean, real cool in the pocket. Unbelievable. Yep. Just take me to the moment, because you kind of glossed over it. And I was in a state championship match that I lost.
You
were in a state championship match that you won.
Yeah.
So talk to me, a guy who lost in the state championship, and our fans who've never won anything. Talk to us about what that moment is like when you win a state championship. Were you on? I picture you're on your knees going like this. The crowd is on their feet, and then flowers come raining down on you, and then the trophy, and then the speech where you berate your father.
Right. Flowers for sure. Anyone who's watched tennis knows that there's always flowers around. Well, I'll first say this. I've lost state championship as well. So I know how that feels. And I've also won. And you know this as well. Sometimes it, well, not sometimes, 100%, it hurts more to lose in the finals.
Yes.
Than if you just would have lost second round, gave yourself, you know what I mean? Nobody even knows you're there. So it is always a difficult part of sport and life to really take a deep breath and go, I made the finals. That's excellent. That's excellent. That's excellent. But it is not how it feels. Winning is the best. Winning is the best. Nothing hurts when you win. You know, in tennis, when you win, it's truly one-on-one. You feel like you've defeated this person.
Yes.
And for me at the time when winning the state championship, cool. The guy's just checking his engine out there. No big deal. When you lost the state championship, sorry to bring it up, was that an individual title or was it a team title or was it both?
We weren't in the running for a team.
Okay.
They do keep score for teams, but we were not in the running for a team championship, so it didn't make a difference. But I had lost to this individual who I still keep in touch with.
Really?
His name, Harris Brummer. He was great, really, really a great. He went on to Notre Dame, and then Notre Dame dissolved their program, and he went to West Point. So he's a high-level, very, very high-level wrestler, and high-level guy, you know?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
We met in the conference. There's a regional tournament right before the state. You know, there's a series of tournaments to get to state. You just walk into the state tournament.
Right.
Our fans who've never competed in anything. But I was in the regional tournament, and we met. We're both undefeated, and we met in the semifinals of that tournament. And he just beat me. It was like 9-0. Like, he really didn't pin me, but he pretty much destroyed me. I couldn't get off the bottom. I couldn't take him down. Like, he destroyed me. So when we were on different sides of the brackets in the state tournament, and I, you know, you have to win out. Once you win and get into the finals, it's a relief, because if you lose, then you have to wrestle back. So it's like you have more matches that you get for third and fourth. But if you win out, then you're in the finals. You're like, the worst I could get is second.
Right.
So it was probably that deficit mindset that probably affected me also. But that's the way it is. In every tournament, it's always like, just win out and get into the finals, and then you don't have to wrestle all the way back, and you save yourself, you know, a bunch of different matches. So I wrestled two matches the first night, won them both. And I was a dark horse. Like, I didn't even qualify for states the year before. And then the next morning was the semifinals, and I wrestled another kid who was undefeated and beat him 8-2, and then was in the finals. And then he came out, and I saw that it was going to be him in the finals. And I was like, okay, this is going to be an uphill. It's going to be an uphill battle, because he already beat me pretty handily.
But you had tons of confidence at that point.
I had confidence because I got nothing to lose. It's the finals. It's nothing to lose. So I went out. I took him down, actually, the first, and I was winning 2-0. And then he came back, and the final score was 10-6, and he beat me. But he beat me because he was just better.
Yeah.
It was not like a thing where it's like, oh, I got whatever. It's like, he was just better.
You don't wake up in the middle of the night going like, I blew it. I had a shot. You know, it's like you lost to a better player. Those are sometimes easier to digest.
I do wake up in the middle of the night doing that, but not about that match.
Okay.
Not a bunch of other stuff going on in my life right now. So I know that moment though, I had a moment in the semifinals where I was like, yes. So what was that moment like when you won the state championship?
Well, I won the state championship twice. Sorry, bro. But the first time, my sophomore year, it's the best feeling. And I'm a balanced person. I understand what sport is. It right. is not life. It yeah. is not life or death. It is not the highest stakes. We're talking about Michigan high school tennis.
Right.
But when you work and invest time and energy into something, it is the most fulfilling to see that reward. Wow. Isn't that if you're cooking, if your parents, you know?
How did you get that mindset? Are your parents Buddhists?
Yes, my parents are Buddhists. No, I mean, I don't know how I got. I, you know, sports that's would pretty, be most formal training.
Well-rounded mindset for somebody in high school. I thought it was all or nothing. I thought this right. is the world. Everything that you said it's not, I thought it was.
Right.
So I'll be
right.
honest. That's why
I had lost, and you lose a lot though. And so maybe that had helped me at that point. But don't you feel like comedy is a wrestling match? Is a boxing yes. match? Is a yeah. tennis match? It is.
And my theory is that people who've played individual sports gravitate towards stand-up comedy.
That makes sense.
Yeah, tennis players, wrestlers, anybody. I mean, football was I loved playing football. It was a great, yeah. but it's a team sport, you know?
Yeah.
So, but it's individual sports that yeah. gravitate towards this because it feels much like
yeah.
what we were raised doing.
Yeah, I agree.
So the first one, was it like you kept it in focus, you kept it in balance. And then the second one, you were like, this is getting to be old hat now. Let me go try stand-up comedy.
Well, the second one was, I was cocky, the second one. Okay. And that's when I lost my junior year.
All right.
So that hurt. So I had it. I won it. It was jubilation. My team also won the state championship. It was amazing. Next year, I got cocky. I was wearing my hat sideways. I was like yeah. trying to be Mr. Hotshot, this young little punk kid, half my ability, half my size, dirty shoes, beat me, and humble pie, baby. And that's yeah. where maybe the mindset comes from that you're referring to now. I'm 42 talking about this now.
Right.
So humbled. And then the next year I had the hunger again and I was able to do it. And it just felt like a relief, really. The second time is a relief. But you get humbled. You get yeah. humbled and that sucks.
Second year you were like, hey, I'm not going to lose to any dirty shoed shrimp this yeah. year.
And he had like two rackets in his bag. Meanwhile, Costa had like four. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah. And yeah, yeah. I somehow lost. And it's a great reminder. And this is why, let's tie it back to being a parent. This is a great, I know your listeners are at the edge of their seats when I say parent.
Yeah.
It's so important to learn these lessons as a kid. It could be sport. It could be some form of competition. I find living in New York City handles you quite well, yes. humbles everybody quite okay. well. You can't get cocky and get on the C train. It just, right. when you get off the C train, you're not cocky anymore.
No. Uh-uh.
Yeah. And so I want my, go ahead. Sorry.
I just said you probably get off the C train. You probably have hepatitis. Go ahead.
Hepatitis C.
Hepatitis C.
Come
hepatitis
on.
C. It all comes together. And then I only wrestled 1 year in college because okay. I kind of maxed out in high school at my talent level. But you played all 4 years in college.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you got to the pros, mm-hmm. then you were like, okay, because when I got to college, I'm like, I'm probably in over my head here.
Mm-hmm.
You feel that way when you got to the pros? Everybody goes a level, you know, most of us have success and see if we can, how we are at the next level. And some mm-hmm. of us pan out and some of us don't. So it's just a matter of like what level you pan out at. Is that the feeling you had? Oh, I'm
yeah,
not,
it's
not working.
I think I had more that feeling. I get to college. I had confidence in myself that I could rise to the highest level in college. Now, my recruiting trip, I did a bunch of recruiting trips my senior year in high school. It was the get drunk, go to the football game, you know, see the campus type thing. Did that five times, five different schools, loved it. It was fun. Okay, cool. I get how recruiting trips work. You get drunk, you talk to some girls, you know.
Right.
So then my junior year at University of Illinois, we were ranked number one in the country and we were bringing in some very high level recruits. Okay. Higher level than I was, like the top tier. All those kids came in on their recruiting trip. And you know what they wanted to do, Mike?
What?
They wanted to practice. They were asking for court time. Hey, and we're like, wait, we're supposed to get drunk with the recruits and go out to the football game. And they're like, well, right. I got to get my practice in. That was when I, and then those kids came, won the national championship. I never won a national championship. That's when I realized this is a new level.
Yeah.
These 16-year-old dipshit punks
yeah.
have the work ethic of a 30-year-old professional. I couldn't believe it.
Right.
You know? And so that was when I said, oh, I don't know if I necessarily have what they have or that have the desire to have what they have. And then after college, I went to the pros and I wanted to see how high I could get. And I had to reach a certain level and I was out. But to see the people better than you, to see their work ethic, to see their professionalism is both inspiring yeah. and haunting and frustrating.
Yeah, because it holds a mirror up to yourself. You're Correct. Like, oh, I see what I could be. And I see what these guys are doing. And I'm not doing that.
And I'm choosing not to do that.
Right.
And
what are you doing instead, Mike? Golf? Are yeah. you golfing? Are you doing other stuff? Martinis? Dry martinis? Yeah. Are you a dry martini guy?
Yeah. Like, I like the, yeah, I wasn't drinking martinis in college, but yeah, I was going out.
Yeah.
By the way, I still was working my ass off at tennis, but you know,
yeah.
Thursday night was get drunk night. Well, meanwhile, Thursday night for these kids, they were doing the freaking, you know, positive visualization losers.
Yeah. The ladies come calling on Thursdays.
You know
Maybe that's
saying?
A good title for your book.
Yeah. Well, at the second book, the first one is what not to expect when not expecting.
What not expecting to not expecting. Oh my God. That's awesome. Now I see here, I'm going to jump ahead in your career. Stand up comedy. Did you experience all the bumps that we all experience, open mics, whatever, or did an agent, did a talent scout back when they existed before YouTube and TikTok go, you're it.
You're dipped.
LA is different than New York. You might have those people in the crowd, not now, but back then.
Yeah.
They would just go, you've got it.
Yeah. No, I mean,
say that to you?
I would have said I took the bumps and bruises until I met New York comics and how they came up, and I'd say those guys take the bumps and bruises. But I nobody dipped me in the you made it thing.
Right.
I worked the road forever. I had an old Buick LeSabre that I don't know how this worked. Do you know about cars?
No.
I don't think it had a third gear. So I think it would go from the second gear to the fourth gear. Is that possible?
I think mathematically it is.
Mathematics. So I had this terrible Buick with no third gear, and I would drive around to these terrible cities in the Midwest and these terrible gigs for years, 2-3 years. Eventually I decided to move to Los Angeles, and it was there that I bombed at a Mexican restaurant one night. And then someone came up to me and said, oh, I'm the new talent scout for HBO. And I was like, what? This is what LA is. I didn't realize this.
Yeah.
You know, I wish I would have not bombed. But also, why are they at this Mexican restaurant show? But I think the only way you get good at something is trial and error, some difficulty, learning from your failures. And the comics that do get dipped in the talent scout, you know, golden whatever it is, they may have a good representation for 5 minutes, but then they always peter out, don't they?
Yeah, it seems so. But what about like today versus back then? It's like everybody's putting stuff on Instagram stories and YouTube and everything. And I understand it, but it's very hard to make mistakes in anonymity now doing anything, but especially doing stand-up. There's no time. We all want to get farther, you know, we all want to push ahead. So you might be posting stuff that's a representation of what you're doing right now, but you haven't given yourself any time to develop. And I get it. I understand it. It's a different time. The technology is out there. Why not put it out? But it's like, you're going to be different at 4 years in than you're going to be at 10 years in. So the ability to fail, you know, it's kind of law. Like no one likes that. No one like wants this unless it's a hilarious, catastrophic failure, which will laugh at you. No one wants to just fail consistently. We all want the brass ring. There's no picture for it, I don't think now.
Well, look, this week, maybe it's because the algorithm knew that I was talking to you today, whatever. clip of yours went around, got, it was in my social about the successful marriages are two people crazy and boring. Is that it?
Boring and crazy.
Boring and crazy. Not only did you doing that bit somehow enter my cell phone, probably because I follow you, but there was also young people like lip syncing it showing up, which is awesome. Love that.
Love it.
That joke was ready to be showcased at the highest level when you showcased it, which was on a late night show, and now is proving to be like weaving its way through the upper echelons of internet comedy. It's like, to me, that's the perfect example of how it's supposed to work. You worked on that joke forever, made it right, perfect, close to it, and then showcased it on a broadcast television. That isn't really how the young kiddos are doing it these days. They're just posting everything.
Right.
And I don't know, Mike, if you have the answer, you tell me, because it seems like you just content, just keep creating, keep the slot machine going of content, even if it's garbage. But I don't want to do that.
I don't want to do it either. And I worked on that joke for a long time, did it on a late night show, and now it's getting some play, but it gets beat every week by a dog rescuing a pig.
You know, a dog rescuing a pig, I even have respect
frenemies,
for.
Michael, frenemies.
I even have respect for it because it's like an amazing occurrence that occurred and someone videotaped. What's really sad is when you get beat by like a 14-year-old humming a song with a funny green screen in the background. What the fuck is this?
I don't know. It's resonating though. It's resonating. You did True TV, World's Dumbest.
Right.
I did World's Scariest Police Chases. So I think I got you beat there. I think I got you beat there, buddy.
They did book a lot of people on those.
Yes. And I was like, I'm a TV writer now.
Yeah.
And they paid me. I go, oh, I'm not a TV writer. I'm an Uber driver.
Right.
So it was pretty great. Shout out to True TV for
giving True TV
those opportunities. Then you had a pilot, Overloaded, with Michael Costa.
That's right. Still waiting to hear on that, if Comedy Central picked that up.
They're going to bring it back.
Yeah, they might bring it back. Well, get this, Mike. That was the pilot of that was like a late night talk show about feeling overwhelmed with the obligation of social media. That was 10 years ago. I thought 10 years ago we were overwhelmed with social media, you know? And so what am I trying to say? I'm ahead of my time.
It's pretty great.
That's what I'm trying to say.
It's pretty great. So you moved on from that. You're still waiting to hear.
Yep.
Fingers crossed on that
one. Yeah, thank you.
Industry just takes time. It actually would be perfect, right? More perfect right now.
I asked recently because the executive at Comedy Central who was in charge of that was named Jim Sharp, I believe. He was very supportive of mine. And it's like, you know, you need those people because they can get things happening. And I recently ran into someone at Comedy Central and I said, where's Jim Sharp? And they're like, oh, he retired like 9 years ago. He lives in Oregon on like a vineyard. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm still waiting on this pilot.
Still waiting for Jim Sharp to call.
Yep.
How did the Daily Show thing happen? I think our fans are desperate to know.
Yeah.
You were a working stand-up comic by then. You had a half-hour special. You had a pilot. Yeah. You had other things going on. So it was a gradual build for you. It wasn't just somebody picking you out of the enchiladas at a Mexican restaurant. Yeah. So you had building. And then how did the Daily thing happen?
I think that's important to note because every comic should know that it's all just keep going, keep pushing. If you're enjoying what you're doing, keep creating. And then these opportunities do come around and lots of times they don't work out. They had an opening. The audition went out to a lot of people because of the demographics of the Daily Show. They needed a white male. And I remember maybe texting my manager or calling him and saying, you know, I might have a shot at this because I'm a white male who does comedy. But I also knew I was going to be up against so many funny people in LA, so many funny people in New York and everybody in between. And
was it tennis all over again?
I mean, it felt like that. And I just turned in a submission and then an audition and then another audition and it worked. But both of the first two auditions I had pulled from jokes that I had worked on for years as a stand-up comic. And I felt like I really had an advantage because it wasn't like I was writing this thing blindly. I knew where the jokes, I knew where the laughs were in this material because I'd worked on it for 2 or 3 years as a stand-up. So I feel like that's promising to hear as a stand-up comic, because even this material that you sometimes have and not sure where it's going to go, or do I post it? Do I hold it? Whatever, like use it for another thing.
Yes. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
We have 10 minutes left. I want to get plugs in. Let's do plugs right now, Shannon. And then one more thing I want to ask Michael to get him out of here on time. Mm-hmm. He's very generous with his time.
Put that coffee down. Coffee's for closers only.
Closers only.
Always be closing. Always be closing.
I'm gonna have Heidi lick some caviar off my balls in the meantime.
This guy is a wrecking machine. Wrecking machine. And he's hungry.
Thank you guys for joining Mike Vecchione Investigates. Thank you for your continued support of the show and the YouTube premiere every Monday at 9 p.m. Thank you so much for all the 5-star ratings and reviews. Please continue to follow me on social media at Comic Mike V on all social media platforms. Check me out for dates, MikeVecchione.com. And please just continue to support the show. Also, I have another podcast with Greg Stone. It's a dual podcast. A lot of you have been asking for me to do a podcast with another comic. Greg Stone is a dear friend, a fellow Italian, and we have a podcast called The Macaroni Rascals. It's available on Patreon, and the episodes will be released for free. But sign up for our Patreon. There's 2 levels right now. We're going to do extra content. That's The Macaroni Rascals with Greg Stone. And just MikeVecchione.com for future dates. And Michael, what do you have?
I love that name, Macaroni Rascals.
That's what they call the Jersey Shore in Europe. They don't know what the Jersey Shore is, so they rebranded the show, The Macaroni Rascals.
Oh, my God. That's fantastic. I fucking love that. At Michael Costa, K-O-S-T-A. I have a Tennis Anyone podcast. I usually talk about tennis, but it's 25 minutes. It's short. Please rate and subscribe. And MichaelCosta.com for live dates. Thank you.
And you said at the beginning of the show, but I will tell you, this podcast, we actively lie about our downloads.
Yes.
So there's some truth in that.
At one point, I think I was at the Comedy Store in LA, and like five different comics had told me they were getting 50,000 downloads a week on their podcast. And I was like, I don't even think there's that many downloads happening in the week. How many comics are lying about their podcast?
I'm an obvious liar. So I just say I get a kajillion.
Right. That's smarter.
It's smarter.
That would hold up in a court of law.
I go complete fiction.
Yeah.
Shannon, what do you got?
You can follow me on Instagram at ShannonLee6982. Listen to my podcast, The Thing Is Ding. We have people from all walks of life come on and tell their stories about their bad date experiences, their street fights, and their experiences with the paranormal. And you can listen to that wherever you get podcasts or on GasDigitalNetwork.com. Wherever you listen to Mike Vecchione Investigates, you can also watch it live for free every single Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern at GasDigitalNetwork.com/live. That's absolutely free, but the best way to support the show is to go to GasDigitalNetwork.com, use promo code MVI. You'll get a 1-week free trial plus access to every episode we've ever done and every other show on the entire network. Go to podcastmerch.com for t-shirts, hoodies, and mugs. And wherever you listen, especially iTunes and YouTube, make sure to rate, review, and tell a friend. And if you have questions, comments, or your own investigation to submit, send it to MikeVecchioneInvestigates@gmail.com. That's it.
Thank you, Shannon. Well done.
Thank you,
Michael, before I let you go, you're on The Daily Show. You have a lot of industry stuff going on, but you're a consummate stand-up. Mm. You're a stand-up comic first and foremost, and you've made it clear that's where you come from. Mm. And we appreciate it, guys, in the clubs, in the trenches. We appreciate that. We appreciate that kind of loyalty. And I would like to know if you can share with us a joke that you're working on right now, you're working on, that's not working.
Yeah.
Something that you're working on that's
easy.
Not working.
That's easy. I can't figure it out. And I actually dumped it, but I dumped it with the, like, let's maybe, like, I thought maybe I don't have the skills yet to pull this off, you know? It's the joke about how if your art is good enough,
right,
you can get away with anything. Okay.
Yeah.
Michael Jackson, right? Yeah. If you can sing Billie Jean, you can do all types of criminal activity that are terrible, illegal. He should be in prison forever, Michael Jackson.
Right.
And then I said, R. Kelly, not good enough. The music wasn't good enough
right.
to get away with what he was accused of doing. So right. no one would ever laugh. It would get real quiet. It's awkward now. It's like it was awkward then. And then, and I don't mean to end on a controversial topic, but many African-American audience members would come up to me after and say, that joke isn't working because the Black community thinks his art is tremendous.
Yeah.
And I always thought R. Kelly was kind of a mediocre singer.
No.
So exactly. So yeah. I didn't know this. So I guess I was wrong, you know, and this is where it's good to have open discussion.
Right.
You know, and I was like, is R. Kelly considered that good?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. People love him, man. I mean, they don't love what he did and love right. his history, but his music, they love his music. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, what do I attribute that to? Not poor information when writing the joke?
That's pretty, that's a good example. That's a good example. And it's good that you talked it out. I have one that I did last night that tanked.
Yeah.
And I think it's funny. The joke is there's no racially sensitive way to leave the city anymore. And it actually worked to my advantage last week because my girl wanted to go to a wedding in New Jersey. And I go, well, there's no way to get there. We can't take the George Washington Bridge. George Washington owned slaves. Can't take the Lincoln Tunnel. Lincoln didn't think Black and white people were equal. She goes, well, right. we could take the Holland Tunnel.
Right.
We just have to take the Henry Hudson Parkway. And I go, I think Henry Hudson hit his wife.
Right.
And he got nothing. And I'm like, maybe yelled at his wife. Maybe I need to change that. Maybe that's too graphic
for
audiences now, you know?
Oh, I love
the last one. I made up the last part. I don't know if he actually hit his wife.
Right. But it's a very fun commentary on how embedded these names and people are in our way of life. And it's also possible that your joke, by the way, much stronger than my joke. It's also possible that we're right. It is funny. It should be had a joke done about, but people aren't ready for us to say that. I don't know. And maybe they never will be. Maybe it's not for us to say. I don't fucking know.
Oh, maybe it's I think it's always a thing of changing the wording a little bit.
Yeah.
I always am optimistic about the fact that if I changed a couple words or something or maybe the core of the idea, we can't both think like we can't think it's funny, or I'll run it past other comics. They'll go, that's funny. We can't all think it's funny. We're professionals and I'm not setting it up the right way. Or this kernel, I'm not, it's what the setup is. I'm not setting it up. I'm not using the right words to communicate this idea. I always think that.
Well, that's an argument for, and I agree with you on the craft.
Yeah.
It's a craft. And I always have a hard time with the rewrite. And what you're describing is that maybe the rewrite is where the joke can be a success.
Right.
And that is the craft. And I have to remember, Michael, just because you thought this thing was funny once and you wrote it down and it didn't work, if you really believe in it and like you said, other people think it's funny, rewrite it.
Yeah. It's like a child, I think, Michael, to bring it back to being a parent. You have to believe in it. Otherwise, it's going to go out there and maybe be a serial killer if you don't.
Yeah. And there are times when my baby misbehaves and I go, we have to rewrite her.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Rewrite.
Yeah.
I love it. Well, thank you so much for coming on, buddy. I really appreciate your time. I know you're busy. I know you're slammed. You have a family and a great career. And I hope to see you soon in the clubs again. And I really appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thanks for having me. And I'm glad I got out of this investigation without sweating too hard. Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Shannon.
You came off great. You defended yourself very, very well. For Shannon, for Michael Costa, I'm Mike Vecchione. We'll see you next week.
Guys, thank you for listening to Mike Vecchione Investigates. And if you go to gasdigitalnetwork.com and use promo code MBI, you will get 1 week free. That's gasdigitalnetwork.com, promo code MBI, you will get 1 week free. Thank you again for listening to Mike Vecchione Investigates on the GAS Digital Network.